Good to be with each of you here tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke, Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. When I came back for our first service, I was thinking about the blessings of God in my life, allowing me to be here, move here in 2015. It was just a few rows over there on a November 2015 that the Spirit of God convicted my heart that I was not saved. And I thank God for that. Think of my father-in-law, Jim, bringing Nina down the aisle here, getting married, standing in the back with Pastor Roland, nervous as can be, starting life out, and then going to Zambia, having the right hand of fellowship with you as we were sent with love and prayers and support. And now we're back 20 months later, and God has been good to us. It's God's grace that we can stand, that we can present, we can share the gospel, and God has been good, simply that. Tonight in Luke chapter 24, I'd like to read all of chapter 24 to really direct our hearts about Christ's resurrection and his ascension. The title of the message is very simple. It's called A Necessary Reminder. A Necessary Reminder. We need to be reminded about many things as we walk with God, and the Word of God and His Spirit is the perfect reminder to guide us into all truth. While we read this passage, I trust that you will pray and ask God to speak to your heart as we read the living word. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher." Praise the Lord for that. "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" We love this verse. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." So remember that. Don't forget that. Verse 8, "And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulcher, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." Verse 10, "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Verse 12, "Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him." Verse 17, "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Remember that. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he saw at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they had yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. We will focus on verses 44 through 53 for the message tonight. Verse 44 says, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And we can say amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this account. Luke, who is directed by your Holy Spirit to give us this word that we now cherish today. We think of your death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. We thank you for the power that you have given us. You've given us the Comforter today and your living word. Thank you for giving us your church, that we could gather together on a Wednesday evening and set aside time to grow in our faith as we desire to be true followers of you, dear Father. Bless us. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. There's a reminder I know in my own life that I need to remind myself about God's plan. I need to remind myself of God's power, I need to consistently remind myself about the promises that are in the name of God. I have to remind myself. And in verse 44, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he's reminding them, this wasn't something new that they have heard. He says, "These are the words which I spake unto you." Jesus is reminding them of what he said would happen. These are the words. Never forget how earnestly and how consistently and constantly, it seems as I read the Bible, how the Lord always directed the heart of the hearer to the testimony of this book. What a blessing in our lives that we need to use this word to guide us and to help us, to remind us that God's promises are true. He has not failed us, and we need the word. We need the reminder tonight. I need the reminder tonight to get back to the word. You know, the disciples here, there were times where they were troubled and they were perplexed. They didn't understand the full story just yet. But God said, Jesus said specifically, remember these words. These are the words in verse 44, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. It's a vast display of God's words. All of those words have been given to us. And it's our choice if we want to receive those words. And Jesus says, all those things must be fulfilled. And he was reminding the disciples once again that the words that they had read in the Old Testament would be fulfilled and were currently being fulfilled. Christ is simply saying, all that is written concerning me, the Messiah, the Anointed One, in the Old Testament will be fulfilled to the glory of God. And this fulfillment concerning the sufferings of our Savior, of the kingdom of God, can only come through the name of Jesus. John 14, 6 says, he is the way. It's the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing can be fulfilled without the precious name of Jesus. When we think about this verse in verse 44, it says the law of Moses. That's the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. How precious are those books? And the prophets. Who were the prophets? Those were the men of God, who the Spirit of God revealed himself to them, and they were the spokesmen of God to declare the very word of God concerning future events, concerning the salvation of man and the kingdom of God and his chosen people. That's the prophets. And Jesus is reminding them, don't forget the word that you have read, my friend. I think of young people. I wasn't planning on saying this. But you've grown up in a wonderful home in a church where you've been given the word time and time again. Don't forget this word when you're in your life. It says, and in the Psalms. Wow, think about the book of Psalms. Many Psalms concerning the Messiah, the worship that is due to our God. Brother Custer mentioned that on Sunday. Many of the Psalms foretell the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. These Psalms even predict specific events that would happen in the very life of Christ. God, in many various ways, all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, revealed the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the foreshadowing events that we can read in the Old Testament. Many of you are involved in doing Bible studies, and I love talking about the foreshadowing events of the things that were to come. What a wonderful place to go to the Old Testament and show that Jesus was coming. He's coming. This hope was given to those who in faith would believe the very promise of God's word. And the same is today. God has revealed himself to you. God has revealed himself to me. And all that want to know him, all that desire to be born again, he'll give you new life in Christ. But you have to be willing to receive the written word of God. And maybe you're here tonight and you have cast away the thought about salvation. You need to be reminded of the very word of God that you will stand before him someday. the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe here at this time, had a wonderful time to expound and instruct the very minds of the disciples, who he had spent so much time with. And here he's trying to help them, to give them some type of understanding so that they might be able to perceive and observe and understand the true intent and meaning of the message of the prophecies of Christ. And Jesus, the one who is risen from the dead, was the perfect, infallible proof that they needed. Verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. That was the proof. Look, this is the Son of God who just bore the sins of all mankind, and he's there for you. But they needed something. Verse 45, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand what? The Scriptures. Think about your life. How many times, for us that are born again believers, we have the promises of God. We have wonderful preaching from this pulpit. We have families that encourage one another, and it's quite obvious that we're all trying to do what's right. But in the midst of that all, I need to be reminded. You need to be reminded of what? That Jesus Christ, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God for us today, is the teacher of divine truth. Is the teacher. And if you're here tonight and you want to be victorious in your life, if you want to be used for Christ, we need to be reminded that our understanding oftentimes needs to be enlightened by the perfect teacher. Jesus is telling them, look, the things I said would happen have come to pass. It's almost to the point where Jesus is slowing them down so that they could comprehend the reality of the situation, that they might just simply be able to take all of this in. I think I would be like that. I'm a slow learner. It takes me some time to absorb something. And the disciples were there, and Jesus knew that. Praise God. He meets us where we need, if we're wanting him. And in this verse, I see that there is great authority in the Scriptures. Jesus, who is the living Word, was doing what? He was directing them to the opening of the Scriptures. When we counsel people and our children or someone in the church to encourage a brother or sister in Christ, they just need the opening of the Scriptures that the perfect teacher might guide them into all truth. It's been the solution and the answer for me as a young pastor in a church. This is the Word. And I don't mean this arrogant if I would say this to them. If you don't want this Word, I can't help you. I try to say it more tenderly and prayerfully, but it's the truth. If you don't want this book, you can't be helped. And your understanding, you're not going to walk in a pleasant path. The way of the transgressor is hard. And Jesus says, I have given you the truth. I love John 16, verse 13, where it talks about how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. That is the ministry, the blessedness of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's my desire as we preach the gospel in Kabwe, Zambia, that hearts would be hungry to listen to the Spirit of God and to his Word. And there are people that are being born again by the grace of God that say, I don't want religion. I don't want formalism. I don't want the commandments of men. I want truth. Amen. And there's people like that in Allentown. On 40th Street last night, I met a man 85 years old, and we had a long conversation, and I could tell in his heart that he wanted some type of truth, but he hasn't truly committed. He's just right on the edge of the fence, and I looked at this dear man, And my heart said, you're going to pass off into eternity. People in Allentown need to hear the truth. And it's our responsibility to go as witnesses to bear the message that the truth is for them. When I think about this message of the truth in my life, I could say it's a glorious gift from God. That God would give Jeff Goss the truth. That God would give my friends at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church the truth. That God would give the people of Cobway, Zambia the truth. And He loves them. It's a gift. It's precious when God opens your understanding that you might understand. This only happens if you want to allow the Holy Spirit of God to convict and move in your heart. Do you remember when you were born again? We say, many of us have said, that it was like the light bulb clicked on. We know what that means. You're quickened. You're made alive in Christ. Your understanding was that I am lost. I have a problem. God hasn't changed. I'm the sinner. Do you remember that? And when you read the Word of God, and you're walking with God, and God convicts you, and that same Spirit of God convicts you, and that light bulb comes on. Okay, God, now I know what to do. Praise the Lord for this. If we try to read the Scriptures without being born again, they're going to be a mystery to you. You can't sit in church and do what is expected of you by your Christian community. And if you're not born again, you're never going to be moved by the Holy Spirit of God and His Word. You can sit, you can teach Sunday school class, you can do what you're supposed to do, be a good giver, but if you've never understood the Holy Spirit of God and His Word, you're dead. There's no life in Christ in you, and you're stuck into a rut of formalism, and you've denied the power of God. And He's telling the disciples, look to Me, look to the Word. That natural man, we know, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolish unto him. In Zambia, there's many religious people. If you walk down the street and you ask someone, when were you born again? They'll tell you a date and a year. They'll tell you a time in their life where they believe they got saved. But they don't understand. But the majority of them don't understand because it's a work-based salvation. They don't understand conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. It's in their culture of community and their religious environment that, yes, I believe in Jesus. But sadly, they're foolish. They haven't followed the truth. But for us believers today, when we specifically take the Word of God in the context of the Scriptures that He has given us, and we allow His Spirit to dwell in our minds, it's a precious influence. It's a wonderful direction. And He guides us when we're yielded to Him. The resurrected Jesus Christ here in Luke 24 has the power today to enlighten the souls of all mankind to the divine light of truth. I believe that. And the resurrected Jesus Christ had the power at that time to open the understanding of His disciples to the divine heat, which made their hearts burn within them. Look at Luke 24, 32. It says here, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way? That's why I love being in the church, being in the local family and doing ministry together, because I get to hear how the heart is burning from the Spirit of God talking to me. But you won't most likely get that if you check in to church and check out. Walking with God, having fellowship one another, wasn't there a time in your heart that your heart just burned? Because you were with Jesus. That's the heart of a pastor as he leads his people. He wants his people to have the moving of the Spirit of God burn in their hearts to move them to be in fellowship with the precious Savior. That's a pastor's heart. And ultimately, that's God's heart, that we would walk with Him. David prayed that, didn't he, in Psalm 119:18? Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Praise God, he opened their understanding. And this passage in verse 45 is a great encouragement to me, specifically to us believers, because God is always at work in the yielded believer who wants to increase their faith. God is always at work in the yielded believer who wants to walk in faith. The Holy Spirit of God, who dwells richly in our hearts and has a way of working in our souls to help us to live and to serve in faith, he's there to give us the understanding of how to keep pressing on in those difficult times. God does this by opening up our understanding. And for me, it takes a lot of opening, a lot of prying, a lot of getting my attention and putting things into my pathway and trials and testing to finally break my stubborn will. But he does it because he's my Father. Because on the 7th of February, 2019, I was born again. And he can't let me go because I'm his son. Do you believe that? Can you shout hallelujah? You have the Spirit of God in you. And he will increase your understanding if you're willing to let him. That's the power of the scripture. And it comes into the souls of man and it guides our understanding. How are we to make decisions in our family? How are we to make decisions in this church? Well, it takes us meditating upon the truth. And Jesus wanted his disciples to do this very thing. Something interesting that I was thinking about when we meditate on truth. When pride is in our life, we take the truth and we become wise in our own way. That we then can be, in a sort of way, we wouldn't outwardly say this, but we're above the written law. We're above the written word. God says, no, you need to be spiritually minded and live in the written word. You're in Christ. You're not above. You don't use this knowledge to puff yourself up. You use this understanding because you're a born-again believer filled with the Spirit of God who has absolutely surrendered to God, and he will teach you and guide you the truth. And you can rest and humbly learn and submit your life upon the scriptures. Sometimes we get off course. Many times I get off course and I walk in the flesh and my gaze is on this earth. It happens all the time to me. And my satisfaction comes from the things that I have or don't have. And I look and God says, look to my word. The disciples, this is what was happening. They were looking at the things that were happening. Did not you hear the news? God's will is for us to remember that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. God wants us to remember that he is the one that suffered. He is the one that bled and died to take away our sins. He wants us to remember that the believer must go share the gospel. We must remember the very promises of God, and they are sure. Not that my life is anything grand, but when you leave home, in a way, you cling to the word and the promises a little bit more. Wow, this is such a foreign land. This is different. This is crazy. There's all the different cultures and this and that is happening. And Lord, I need you. It's good to step out in faith. I do feel like Peter most of the time, I'll say. Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, a reminder, written word, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. I mean, in John chapter 3, verse 14, the sufferings of Christ, it was predicted in John 3, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It was predicted. They knew that, but they had to be reminded. Why do we need to be reminded of the cost of Christ's suffering? Well, the truth is that if you and I are to live yielded lives unto Christ, it will cost you something. It costs Christ his life. It costs Christ his blood. It's going to cost you your life because the Holy Spirit of God is in you and he will move you to be a witness. He might even move you to a nation.
He might move you to a different job. Are you willing? Am I willing? Jesus continues on the conversation and brings them, I believe, to a point about the power of the gospel. But before we look at that, it's important for us to understand the word behooved. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted the disciples to understand that the cross was not some like unfortunate obstacle that has to be hurdled in order to save mankind. No, it behooved him, which means it was necessary. It was essential, and it had to happen. God's redemptive plan for man required a price to be paid. Sin must be paid for by the blood of the perfect Lamb. It is only in the name of a crucified and risen Savior that repentance and remission of sins that was brought into the world. When I think of the word behooved as well, I think of it in this way. It was right, and in Zambia we often say proper. Everything must be proper, proper. Which means it's good, it's perfect. It was the perfect fulfillment. And Christ was destined to undergo suffering, death, the resurrection, and then the ascension. And it behooved Christ to suffer. Christ suffered on the cross. When we go, specifically men, when we go to preach the gospel, we preach a Christ crucified. We preach the gospel that Jesus Christ, he suffered, he bled, and he died. We preach the gospel. Didn't Paul say that? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed about the suffering servant of Jesus Christ. We're not to be ashamed of his cross. We're not to be ashamed of his suffering. We're to tell the lost why he suffered, and that actually all the scriptures of the Old Testament were fulfilled in his suffering. Praise the Lord that he suffered, because when he suffered, he paid my price. We need to tell the lost biblically that it did behoove Christ to suffer. It was necessary for the taking away of sin, and it was that resulted in the deliverance of sinful man from death, destruction, and ruin. That's what our Savior did for us. Hebrews 2, verse 10, I have the verse written here. Hebrews 2, 10 says, "For it became him for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Verse 46 says, "And to rise from the dead the third day." It's a reminder that we have victory over sin and over death. Jesus arose from the dead. He arose victorious. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 tells us clearly, even in Revelation 1, 8, he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." Think about when you were risen with Christ. Didn't we memorize that verse a few years ago? "If ye be risen." You've seen Christ. You've seen the transformation that can take place in your life. You've experienced it. It's kind of like the story in Genesis 45 with Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. And he said, "You see me? Yes, I do. Now go to your father." That same seeing is each and every person that's born again. It's not a muddy water. It's not, "I think I'm saved. I don't know. I'm possibly." No, you know. And when you saw Jesus, you said, "I'll follow you. I'll count the cost. I will sell all that I have and follow you to be a disciple." And that's what Jesus is touching to the very heart of the people, the disciples there. Do you know me? Have you seen me? Did you see the nails? Do you see the wounds? Do you see the suffering? And he says in verse 47, this is why you need to see. in verse 47. Because you need to be reminded that people need repentance and remission. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's a reminder about our message. It sounds quite obvious. Why would we have to remember, as born-again believers, the message? Well, I know in my life that I need instruction. Even though it's crystal clear that the New Testament church should be filled with the disciples, and those disciples, particularly, I'm speaking to us men right now, should be the leaders in our homes and should be serving and preaching the gospel through the New Testament church. But sometimes it's not obvious. We know the Great Commission, we know the doctrine of the New Testament church, and we say, amen, praise the Lord for a good church. But we need reminded. Charles Spurgeon said, they were told by their great master what to preach, where to preach it, how to preach it, and even where to begin to preach it at Jerusalem. God will direct you. Sometimes we wonder in the church, where should we go? And at Independent Baptist Church of Cobway, we're praying and we're asking God, God, show us where we might start a New Testament church in Cobway. Where do we go? Do we go to Choma? Do we go to Makalulu? Do we go to Kawama? Where do we go, Lord? God will guide us. He'll direct us because he's faithful. Amen. But what we need to remind ourselves is our message, the message of repentance and remission of sins. You know, repentance, it's a change of mind. And you know that. But really, what is it a change of mind about? It's a change of mind about you and your desires and your sin and your goals for your life and your security and your whatever collection of things or acceptance or authority. No. When you and I get born again and we understood true biblical repentance and the remission of sins, we said, now I have a right view of God. Now finally I have a right view of who the Heavenly Father is. And that calls me to get on my knees before him and confess that what I see in myself, I don't like what I see. And when I look at my life, I don't actually like the way my life is taking me. I want to follow Christ. That remission of sins is that releasing from the bondage of imprisonment. Amen? Set free. It's that letting go, the remission of the penalty of sin. And that repentance needs to be preached from Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. That repentance needs to be preached from Independent Baptist Church of Cobway. And Acts 17, 30, it says, all men everywhere to repent. The lost need to repent from their gods of this world that they might be able to have new life in Christ. And we, as the New Testament church, have the keys to the kingdom. We have the commission by Jesus Christ, who is the pastor of our churches. And our under-shepherds are pleading with the people to remember the calling that Christ has given us. And it's the orders from which Jesus commands his churches to preach. We're under his orders. You're not under your orders. You're under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that preaching must be done in the very name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that preaching must be given to all nations, it says there in verse 47. Now, all nations is quite troubling. I can tend to worry a little bit saying, this world is big. Just look at the map back there on the wall. How are we supposed to do that? I mean, just sleepy Cobway has 400,000 people. Probably more. We have the second largest compound in all of Central Africa. Some of the poorest people in the world. And they need someone to share the gospel. that all nations is heavy. This would require the disciples, when they are hearing this from Jesus, this would require for them to disperse, wouldn't it? Does that still apply to us? Should some of you disperse under the authority of this New Testament church with the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God in His direction? Yes. It has to happen. And if it's not happening, ask yourself, number one, am I saved and born again by the power of God? Or have I forgotten? This would require them to spread into flood and go carry the light of the gospel wherever the Lord led them. Verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things. It's a reminder of what has happened in your life. The Bemba speaking people, they're a bit timid people. They would defer to not saying a word. But oh, the brother Baviuses. Oh, the sister Margaret's, those that love God. They open their mouth because they say, God changed me. He changed my life. And I'm just telling you, I'm an eyewitness. I'm an ear witness. I'm a heart witness. I'm a soul witness. I'm a life witness. My life is different. Jesus doesn't want us just to go out and spread the news in some general way. Like, okay, let's publish something. Let's put it on Facebook. Let's make sure we pass out a lot of tracts. Let's make sure we do this form. And those things are wonderful. I'm not minimizing that. But I know that Jesus wants you. He wants your heart. And He wants you to be a witness of your own personal conversion. When did the Holy Spirit of God from heaven convict you of your sin? Jesus wanted these disciples to go out fully assured and fully persuaded that the Spirit of God is real, and His power convicted them and brought each one of them to a place of repentance and remission of sins. It's really not hard to get, in a way, the church family to be serving the Lord. Because those that are born again, they say, I want it. Let's go. I might need a little picking up. There are days when I'm down and discouraged, but on average, I want to serve God. Amen. And the preaching goes forth and you say, Pastor, I'll be there. There's 500 doors that need to be met in Allentown. There's a work to be done. Follow up. I'll go. I want to tell someone that Jesus changed me. The disciples had this promise. You don't have to twist the arm force, push a professing or a born-again believer. You don't have to push them. The Spirit of God is there. It comes naturally to us. And He promises that He's with us, that we can be a witness of Him. Isn't it a wonderful privilege to be able to be a witness, that we have been redeemed of the Lord and we can testify of His glory and His riches, that we have personally been able to be found in Christ? Wow. When we lift up our eyes, we see this vast undertaking, and it can be challenging. I think about John chapter 4, verse 35, where it says, lift up your eyes. Early on when we were doing Allentown Outreach, one of the men said years ago, we should go up the PP&L building and look, because what we see, it's going to affect our hearts. And I said, amen, brother, it will. Lift up your eyes. Have you ever asked yourself, how do we actually accomplish such a great mission to be a witness to all nations? How do we do that? The answer is in verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. If you're born again, there's a promise. He can take a C-minus student. He can take the scaredest kid in the class. He can take the bully in the youth group and change their life and send them off to be a gospel preacher to the regions beyond. That's our God. And we need to remind ourselves tonight as people of God of His promises. He's there. There, of course, will be opposition from the wicked one. When you're in the service of the King, You're going to be opposed and suffer, and you will face persecutions, I promise you. But there's promises. There are times when we think about Matthew 9:37, where it says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And that affects people sometime that are serving the Lord, and they look out and see the great need, and the laborers are few. I don't understand. But David said, I look to you. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. God, I need you. I need you in this battle. I want to be reminded of your promises. Verse 49 says, but I tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. A reminder that obedience, that power comes when we are obedient. He says, but tarry ye in Jerusalem. There's a long list of reasons why Jerusalem is the place, and that's some prophecy that you can study. But Jesus told them that that's what they must do. You must tarry there. And because of that, they tarried. And because of that, the fruit of all of that was they were rejoicing at the end. When a Christian follows, when I follow God, I rejoice. You rejoice. Look at verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. It's a reminder that God wants to lead us. He led the disciples to Bethany. You know, Bethany, it's a small place. It's a small village just there on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives, just outside of Jerusalem. And even though it wasn't that far, they followed. Are we remembering that we must follow Jesus? Jesus led them, and he led those that wanted to follow. He led those that wanted to receive his teaching. And there, because of their obedience, imagine. Verse 52 says, and they worshiped him. Wow. They worshiped him and returned back to the place that God, that Jesus had told them to go with great joy. We left, by the grace of God, we left Zambia rejoicing because one of the men that was lost, got saved. We left rejoicing. And it was all of the Lord doing that work naturally, but we know very clearly that that stronghold of Satan that was on that man, God, through his great power, changed that dear father's life. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. It's a reminder of God's blessing. When we follow him, there's blessings. Those blessings did not stop when Jesus ascended up into heaven. Those blessings continue. They continue in your life and in Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. We came here and sat in the back row, and I said, told Nina, there's God's blessing upon the church. You can see Bible studies and people coming to hear the word of God. That's a blessing, and that's a privilege to be involved in God's blessing. Don't mishandle and misuse God's blessing. And it came to pass, our verse 53, and we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Remind yourself as you wait on the answer from God, that like these disciples had to wait for the power that would come on high. They didn't sit and twiddle their thumbs and complain. They were obedient and they praised God. The way we get to praise God is falling down in prayer and worshiping him and rejoicing and going around and telling others about Jesus Christ. We're busy. Let's not forget the blessings of God. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you think about your life. Have you asked yourself, Lord, what are you teaching me tonight? What is your plan? Does my understanding need to be opened by your word? Do I really trust in the fulfillment of the scriptures? Have I been running to the truth when I'm perplexed and confused like these disciples were? Do I need to remind myself that I should be a witness? Lord, help me. Help me to be a witness unto you. Ask yourself this. Have you been fearful about what to say when you witness or when you communicate spiritual truth? God's there. He says, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us.